Okay, so slowly.
Okay. The SR up here is fixed and on top, the bearing tree test together. But
how is everybody? So, okay, let's start. Let's start with the questions. Yeah.
Anyone with questions you would like to start? Okay. Yeah, Funk.
Kompo.
Yeah.
I have some questions. I wanted to ask. Okay, you talk about listening to a Dharma talk with your heart. But my question is, how do I develop the ability to do so? Is it having sati or is it to be in samadhi?
Having sati. Yeah, it is, if you develop samadhi, yeah, I mean, in the beginning, I mean, you know, the breath goes in, yeah, you feel the breath goes in, feel the breath goes out. But then later on, you know that the breath goes in and then you know that the breath goes out. Listening to the heart is not easy. It is a long training, yeah? So you don't want to understand, you don't want to listen to what comes into the ear, but you want to listen what comes into the heart. Because it will arrive first in the heart before it arrives in the ears. It is a training. I mean, the problem with us, you know, listening to a talk, yeah, is that we try to understand what the person is saying. Sometimes we translate it in our own language, you know, and then, you know, we lose, you know, most of it. Yeah. It took me, yeah, my first teacher, you know, in Germany, you know, he taught me this, yeah. He said, just listen. I said, what? Just listen, you know, without thinking, without putting any labels on it. And, you know, how do you do that? You know, just listen. Don't put any labels on it. Don't think about it, you know. Just listen. Yeah? A year later, you know, I mean, I trained and trained and trained. A year later, you know, I heard a dog barking, yeah, in the heart before actually, you know, it entered the ears, yeah. So, it is a training, you can do it, yeah. I mean, with a language that you don't understand, for instance, Lungta Mahabo, the Thai language, yeah. I mean, it's much easier just to listen with the heart, yeah. And you will be surprised you understand. I mean, that's how the first, you know, when I came to Bandrat, you know, I didn't know any Thai, yeah. I listened to Lungta Mahabo, but I understood, yeah, about what he was talking about, not every word, yeah. So, train it, yeah. I mean, the moment thoughts are coming in, you know, then you're off, yeah.
So actually, when I listen to Dharma talk and I have an inner voice talking, so the inner voice is actually Kalisa's?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Sometimes, you know, sometimes we hear something, you know, and then we want to make it clear, you know, that it's your inner voice, you know. Yeah.
Okay. Then I wanted to ask.
But also concentrate then on the chitta. Yeah. Don't concentrate on anything else. Concentrate on what is happening in the chitta. Because it appears in the chitta first, yeah? The sound.
Okay. I will try.
Yeah. It's a training.
Not easy, I think.
I mean, it's all a training, you know, it's just like running a marathon. Yeah, first time it is not easy, yeah. But after we do it every day, you know, I mean, it becomes easy. Yeah?
I'm still listening it based on the words translation.
Yeah,
yeah. That's why.
Yeah, don't.
Okay. The other thing I wanted to ask is, actually during Katina, I realized that actually we give ropes to the monks, but actually, in the forest monastery, actually, they dye their own clothing. Actually, is it, did I cause any inconvenience if I actually give them robes that subsequently they have to maybe give away and they don't use it?
That's not true. We can use, you know, ready-made ropes, yeah? What is with the katina? With the katina ceremony, I mean, in the morning, you know, you present the rope material, and that day, you know, it had to be made into a sabong, dyed, you know, and ready-made, stitched up, you know, into a sabong. That is the katina rope. But you can offer, you know, white rope, you know, so that the monks can stitch it, you know, according to their size, you know, and to their comfort, yeah, and then dye itself. Or you can, you know, present, you know, ready-made ropes. Yeah, there's no problem.
Okay, thank you. No more questions.
No more questions. How is your practice?
Still doing on and off. I managed to do a body investigation the other day already. Of course, the visualization is not fantastic. I will still continue to refine and see how it goes.
There's one thing very interesting, yeah. When we learn how to listen to the heart, yeah. I mean, we don't hear the words, we listen to the intention of the speaker saying something, yeah. So when you listen, for instance, to your parents, yeah, I mean, what they say and what you understand is completely different. Because the language of intention cannot lie. So they talk about something, you know, something worldly, but actually they say, oh, I miss you so much, or I love you, or whatever, you know, or I'm so lonely, or I'm, you know, I'm frustrated, you know, but they will not say it in words. But that the message comes over, yeah? So that is why it's very helpful, you know. I mean, if you can learn it, you know, I mean, it is very helpful. Yeah. Okay?
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, Brian.
Hello.
Yeah, Brian, you want to unmute yourself?
He freezes up. Yeah?
I'm looking for...
Yeah, I mean, I...
Hello. Yeah, I'm looking at... I'm doing a walking meditation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm starting to do walking meditation, but I'm trying to understand the instruction that you gave about when you say, when walking this path, I will stay with the breath. Do I continue to say that every time I reach the end of the path? Because I did that, and then when I... Sometimes I would find I would actually focus on my breath, but I felt like it was interrupting that. So I'm just wondering, do I continue to say it? Or?
If you can stay, you know, if you see that you can stay with the breath, you know, for four or five paths, you know, without interruption, and that is very hard, yeah, then of course you don't have to say it. I mean, if you focus on towards the end of the path, I trust this one path, I want to stay with the Buddha or with the breath, yeah? And then you come to the end of the path and you notice you have gone off, yeah? Then it is very helpful, you know? You turn around and say again, trust this one path, yeah? It takes this time, yeah? It takes the time out, yeah? And the expectations, yeah? I mean, just one path, yeah? Just like in sitting meditation, you just say, this one Buddha. Yeah? I just want to do one Buddha, yeah? And then once the Buddha is finished, I want to do another Buddha, yeah? Hmm? Until the mind becomes stable, and then, of course, you don't need to do it, yeah? But you will see, if you try it, you know, if you try that for an hour, yeah, every time you turn around, yeah, I mean to refocus on the Buddha or on the breath, yeah, you will see you get very easily concentrated.
Okay, cool. Yeah, thank you. And the other thing is, I'll be coming to Wat Phu Kong Tong on 14th of November as well.
14th of November.
So that's when I will really start practicing walking.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
I'll practice walking meditation at the monastery.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, every kuti has a walking path, yeah. except for the Kuti view, yeah. So, how long you want to stay?
Good. 10 days, if that's okay.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I mean, the longer you stay, the more fruitful it okay. will become.
Thank
yeah.
you.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, Rohan, you raise your hand.
Good evening, Ajahn. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, but you speak up a little bit.
Oh, okay, okay. Now it's better. Hello.
Yeah, it's a little bit better. Yeah. Okay. So what is your question?
Yeah, so now I hope it's better.
Yeah, that is good.
Yeah, so I wanted to ask some questions about, last time you mentioned something that, you know, whenever you have some situations or you have some thoughts troubling you, memories troubling you, that you should show your heart that it's troubling you and that, you know, point it to the heart that look what you are doing to yourself.
Hmm.
So right now I'm doing this practice and whenever, you know, some thoughts come or some, anything like that comes up, I, as a mindfulness, keep my mindfulness to this particular thought. Whenever it tries to distract, like when it tries to think of a good memory or, you know, song to distract itself from that unpleasant thought, then I bring it back again to, you know, to show that what you are doing. So I keep doing this. I'm just wondering if it's enough to generate wisdom or not.
Not yet. I mean, it shows a heart that, you know, that what you're doing is, you know, is unwholesome. Yeah. So you have to do it. You have to do it for quite a while until the heart really understands it. But it is also good, you know, the reason why am I doing the things that I'm doing. So to see that, yeah, and that will develop wisdom.
Yeah, so I do like that, like I ask, like considering myself as my own friend, and like asking my friend, are you really happy doing this? And then it really feels calm for a while, like it stops doing that, it stops that tension, it releases the tension for a while. Yeah. So, and other thing is, most of these days, like when I'm listening to a Dhamma talk from you or others like Venerable Thamsar Bhikkhu, I usually search for some kind of a refuge. Like, I need some sort of refuge that I can rely on, and so it doesn't make me feel lonely, you know, in the path. For example, my breath or the awareness, even if just conceptual, but I just like having some sort of a refuge that I can rely upon.
Yeah. Yeah, you can use the breath, yeah. You cannot use the Buddha while listening, yeah. You can use the breath as a, you know, as a point of reference, yeah.
But even the breath feels like a phenomenon, conditioned phenomenon, that it will, one day it will end, I mean. And, you know, I can't really trust. What if I were to be dying on a deathbed? You know, if it's really, the breath is passing very, you know, like it's not a pleasant sensation to be dying. And I know that breath is not going to be a good reliance source at that point. So how can you really rely on that during that time?
That, I mean, the breath is the object of our attention. It's the object of sati. Yeah? Huh? When the breath stops, you know that the breath has stopped, yeah? I mean, for instance, if you go into Apana Samadhi, the breath really stops, yeah? And you know that the breath has stopped, you know, and then you enter one-pointedness, yeah? And that is not different, yeah? I mean, you stay on your sati, the knowingness, what is going on, yeah? I mean, I tell people so often, you know, especially if they live in the forest, yeah? We know, you know, we see and we know, yeah? We know what is going on. We know that the breath is going in, yeah? The breath doesn't tell us it goes in, Yeah? The breath doesn't tell us it's deep. We know it is deep or it is shallow or it is rough, you know, or, yeah, it's fast, you know, it's slow, and whatever it is, we know it, yeah. So the knowingness, yeah, or the sati, yeah, is your refuge. So whatever disappears, let it disappear, yeah, and stay with what stays on. You understand that?
Yeah, I understand.
Okay.
And another, sir, not relevant to the practice, but it's a curious question. I mean, I wanted to ask that, what does an enlightened mind think about, in, like when he's doing nothing at all, or when an Arahant is by himself, what are they thinking, or what are they, what's going on in their mind? I was just wondering. It's not really relevant to the practice. But...
No, it's disturbing. Yeah. Your own thoughts are already disturbing. Why do you want to know what other people are thinking?
Huh? No, I was wondering, what do you have at that stage? What do you get?
What?
Like at that stage of final awakening or enlightenment, what's happening in the brain? Like, brain is still functioning, right? So, it must be thinking something.
I mean, it still thinks, it still has memory, you know, it still works, it still has feelings, yeah? But we are not attached to it. I mean, we know that a feeling is coming, we know that a thought is coming, yeah, but most of the useless thought, you know, even after you practice for years, you know, I mean, the useless thoughts, you know, that normal people have all the time, you know, I mean, they are gone. They don't come back because we don't put any interest in it, yeah. So, I mean, for the Arahant, the five khandhas are still working, yeah. I mean, because, I mean, we have programmed these five khandhas, you know, for eons of lifetime, so, I mean, they are working, yeah. But the citta, you know, the citta is free of this attachment to these khandhas. They know there's a thought, you know, and if it is it's a useful thought, you know, then they might, you know, act on it, and if it is not useful, they don't act on it, yeah. If they see a situation, you know, I mean, you have to live, you have to live with an Arahant to see, you know, to see how it is working, yeah. It is amazing, yeah. I mean, when he's not, you know, he can be completely gone, yeah. He's still, the body is still there, but, you know, I mean, nothing works, yeah. I mean, because it is not necessary for him to work, yeah. But the moment, you know, somebody approaches him, you know, and comes with a question or so what, you know, it's suddenly, you know, it's just like the computer turns on, boops, yeah. And when the person is gone, boop, yeah, I mean, it goes in sleep mode, yeah. Until the next situation appears, you know, and then he goes into wake mode, yeah? He doesn't constantly, you know, think or do or act, you know, I mean, yeah? Whatever is necessary, whatever is useful, you know, that's what he does, yeah? But the best thing is, of course, you know, to stay with an Arahant to see, yeah? I had the fortune, you know, to stay in 15 years with Lungta Mahabua, you know. I mean, it's amazing, yeah? And you don't hear him, you don't see him, you know. He suddenly is in the back, you know, of, you know, you're mindless, you know, you do something mindlessly and suddenly he stands behind you, you know, said, what are you doing? Oh, oops, yeah. You don't hear him, you don't see him, you know, he suddenly is there, yeah. But anyway, you know, that is, you know, the question, you know, I mean, yes, it is interesting, huh? But, you know, what is the purpose of you to know it, you know? Huh? Go there and you will see it for yourself, yeah? That's what the Lord Buddha said, yeah? Open your eyes and see for yourself.
I'm just trying to motivate myself.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, don't you have enough dukkha in your life? Is that not a motivation? And if
it's actually a demotivation.
It's a demotivation. Why? Don't you want to overcome the dukkha? I mean, there are three doors.
When you focus on the dukkha, it feels like it's going more and more.
You can You can focus on three. There are three doors to Nibbana. Yeah? One is dukkha. Yeah? One is anicca. Anicca. And the other thing is anatta. Every arahant goes through one of these doors. Be it dukkha, yeah? Seeing all the things, you know, dukkha, yeah? The other people see it, oh, that's not me, not mine, not myself, it doesn't really concern me. And the other one is anicca. I mean, whatever I do, you know, disappears, yeah? Whatever I have achieved, you know, I mean, it's gone, yeah? I mean, I talked in the last month, you know, quite a few times about, yeah? I mean, when we die, all the things that we have accomplished are gone, yeah? The wealth that we have acquired is gone, yeah? The only thing that we take with us is our karma. It's the bad karma and the good karma, yeah? And then in the next life, we have to retrain everything again, yeah? And that can be a motivation. I mean, look at it, you know, I don't know what motivates you, huh? For me, my motivation was, you know, do you want to be born again, go through childhood, go through all this misery, you know? I mean, the first 18 years of my life was really tough, yeah? Yeah? So, I mean, that was a motivation. Whenever I didn't, yeah, I was feeling a little bit lazy in my practice, you know, I said, do you want to be born again? No. I mean, the answer to the question came instantly. So, what do? You go through it, yeah? You go and practice and practice and practice until you know you're not reborn again. Okay?
Okay. And one last thing I have. I'm listening to a lot of teachers right now, like you, Ajahn Sumedho, and Venerable Sarup Bhikkhu. And so when I'm listening to all these teachers, sometimes there are conflicts between them. I find their teachings conflicting to each other. Like, you teach something which might be opposing to Ajahn Sumedho, or Ajahn Sumedho might be teaching something opposite to you. Or maybe it's just me which is thinking that. But I, like, this just can be that, you know, you all three are wrong. This just can be, I know that. But how do you reconcile with this fact that your teachings might be opposite, but the fruits are there, definitely there?
I mean, that really, you know, depends, yeah. It depends on the accomplishment of each teacher, yeah. I mean, some teachers, you know, teach like that, you know, or put the emphasis on this, other teachers put the emphasis on that. The most, yeah, the interesting thing, yeah. I made a lot of, you know, while I was, you know, in Wat Babantat, you know, I made a lot, you know, of lay people who visit all these different arahants, yeah? And each of the arahants is teaching something different, yeah? But, yeah, when you listen carefully to what they're teaching, it's always the same. They use different words, they use different similes, yeah? But the methods, you know, are the same, yeah? And what I notice with these people, with these lay people, you know, who listen and grab hold of the words, you know, for them it is different. And in the end, they were completely confused. So what I normally suggest to the people who follow me, you know, I mean, just listen, yeah, find some teacher, you know, where you have faith into, and then just listen to him, yeah, so that you don't get confused.
Yeah, like they all, I can see that after reading them for a while, that their teachings confine quite narrow down to some things.
Yeah, I mean some people. Yeah, I mean I personally couldn't listen to Ajahn Sumedho, you know, because I didn't find it very helpful. But maybe he has improved. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I was there. What was it? 91, yeah, so I mean it's a long time ago, yeah. So he might have improved, yeah. But his talks, you know, were very different from what Lungta Mahabo was teaching. Yeah,
there's difference.
Yeah.
He teaches more about awareness and being the witness to the things.
Yeah, yeah, I mean that's why I was attracted to Ajahn Achantanata Mahabhua, yeah. I mean, he's talking only sati, you know, sati, samadhi, you know, and panya, yeah, developing wisdom. I mean, when I was in England, you know, I practiced there for 4 years. I thought, you know, I'm up at the top, you know, I know everything, yeah. I don't have to do anything anymore. But still something was drawing me, you know, to Lungta Mahabua. And then I came to his monastery, yeah. And then I have realized I haven't even practiced. I don't know what I did, you know. Huh? I practiced samadhi in the West, but you know, I'm in no investigation. Nothing, yeah. So, when I came and saw Lungta Mahabua, you know, I mean, he's only talking about practicing investigation. I mean, he takes it for granted that people go into samadhi. He teaches a little bit about samadhi, but most of his teaching is investigation. And investigation, you know, if you have the sati, you know, sati and then develop the panya, the wisdom, you know. I mean, these are the tools, you know, I mean, to get rid of any kind of kilesas that are in your heart, yeah. And that is also the teaching of the Lord Buddha, yeah. I mean, yeah? Even though, you know, I mean, it is not reflected, you know, when you read, you know, the Majjhima Paṭipadā, you know, I mean, I know the Majjhima Nikāya, yeah? When you read it, you know, I mean, you find very little of it, yeah? But he was teaching it, yeah? So, anyway, yeah? I mean, stick to one, you know, I mean, whoever you feel comfortable with, you know? Until you realize, yeah? And that was the same thing for me. I mean, while I was in England, you know, in this meditation center, you know, or in the monastery, I listened to a lot of teachers, you know? And some of the teachers I could take something away. Other teachers I knew, you know, I mean, this is, you know, they haven't even gone, you know, gone to a certain level, you know. Huh? But still, you know, I mean, you still can listen to it, yeah. Find a teacher, you know, you have faith into it, you know, and stick to him, yeah. Until you have a question that this teacher cannot answer. Then you go and change the teacher. Huh?
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay. Thank you so much.
The problem with Lungta Mahabua was, you know, I mean, he could answer all the questions. Huh? So I didn't have to go. Yeah, I was never interested. You know, there were quite a few arahants around here in Isan when I still was arriving. I wasn't interested in listen to this, listen to that. I wasn't even interested in going outside of the monastery. I mean, I had to go out of the monastery for Pindapat, of course, you know, for alms round, but once a year for my visa. I wasn't interested, yeah. I was only interested what is going on in my mind, yeah, or what is going on in my citta, yeah, and remove the things, yeah, one by one. Okay, next. Dani, are you still there?
Yes, I'm fine. Yeah, I'm fine. Who wants to ask his questions? Who wants? Anyone online? Right? Then I'll just read. There are two questions submitted online.
Mm.
Okay, so this is, I think, from N. I'm the girl from Netherlands. Unfortunately, I was unable to join the live session today.
Okay.
I have a follow-up question about investigating feelings.
Mm.
If a certain feeling arises, like annoyance or fear, anger, I try to ask myself what it feels like.
Yeah.
Then the first thing that happened was, I don't like this feeling. Then I ask.
What you did? She, what? She didn't like it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that is the end of investigation.
The question continues. Then I ask, is not liking this feeling the same as the feeling itself? The answer that came was no.
Mm.
Then I ask again, what does this feeling feel like? And then there's no answer.
Mm.
So I asked what happened before this feeling.
Mm.
Then now I see a process of a lot of thoughts, memories, labels, etc.
Mm.
that follow each other up quickly in a small amount of time,
mm.
which seems to lead to this kind of feeling,
mm.
which seems to be always a form of aversion.
Mm.
But still, there's no answer to what it feels like. Then one night, I had a bad dream, and I woke up with a strong feeling of fear. As soon as I woke up, I asked what this feeling feels like, and the mind is completely set on the fast heartbeat and the heat within the chest area,
mm.
and the feeling of fear seems to be gone immediately, and the heart slowly returns to normal.
Mm.
I just look at what happens in the body automatically.
Mm.
So then later, when the feelings arise, I ask what it feels like. I try to look at it. What does it feel like within the body? Like where is it located? And how does it feel? Now there's always seems to be a lot happening within the chest area with heat, tremulence, heartbeat, breath, wanting to move. But I can't see any further. I try to do the same when positive feelings arise, yet somehow it's harder to catch those moments and see the difference.
Yeah.
Now I don't know if what I'm doing is right and how to proceed. Of course, I know my sati and samadhi are not strong enough and that I should develop more. That's the end of the question.
Mm. I mean, she does. How does it feel? You know, I mean, it's not the right question to ask. Yeah, I mean, feel it. Yeah, feel it. You know, I mean, let it permeate the whole body, the feeling, whatever feeling it is. Yeah, yeah. Most of the time, when we concentrate on the feeling itself, yeah, we don't have to ask how does it feel, because that just gives a label, and this label, you know, I mean, deludes us. Yeah? So. We don't want, you know, we don't want an answer to the question. We want to feel it, yeah? That's what I normally try to say. We feel the pain. How does it feel like? How does it feel like? And the answer should not be, you know, the answer should not be mentally, but, you know, it should be, you know, feeling the feeling, you know, encompassing the feeling or, you know, permeating the feeling so that we know, we understand, yeah? And later on, you know, I mean, she goes a little bit back, but, you know, she has not found that the stone that causes the avalanche, yeah? So she has to go even further back, yeah? And if we do our daily reflection every day, I mean, some of these aversions, you know, can already start when we get up from the bed, you know? I mean, there's a bad thought that we have or a bad memory that comes up, yeah? And certain things, you know, add up, you know, until, you know, these things happen. Yeah? So if we have this, if we, you know, do this recollection, you know, daily reflection, I mean, we get the process of how these things appear. Huh? I mean, If you wake up and you are comfortable or you are happy, you know, I mean, the same thing that happens to you, you know, I mean, doesn't matter, yeah. I mean, there is no arising of a bad feeling, and the next day, you know, the same situation happens, but you wake up, you know, with a bad thought or with a bad dream, you know, and then this aggravates you, yeah. So. Feel the feeling, yeah? Feel it in the whole body, you know? I mean, yes, what she was doing, you know, was quite okay, yeah? Feel it in the whole body. I don't put any label on it, yeah? I mean, I just have to ask the question, you know, but you don't... to make it clear to you, I mean, just feel the feeling, yeah? Know how it feels, yeah? So, if you have sati, you know how to feel, yeah? Pain, you know? And then, you know, for instance, for investigation pain, when it comes to meditation, I mean, we go to the point of pain, you know, and we see, you know, we feel it, yeah? And then we see, anicca, is it constant? And then we look at it, no, it is not constant, yeah? The first thing, of course, you know, we should do, you know, there is a feeling, yeah? Because the moment we say, I feel like this, you know, I mean, the investigation is over, huh? Or, yeah, I'm in pain, yeah, the investigation is over. There is pain, let me see, where is the pain, yeah, feel it, yeah, know how it feels, huh? And then, you know, and then ask, where is the pain exactly, yeah, is it in the skin, huh? And then we look, no, it's not in the skin. Is it in the tendons? We look, no, it's not in the tendon. Is it in the flesh? Is it in the bones, yeah? And interesting thing, you know, is we don't find it. What she said about, you know, when she looks at fear and she's completely, you know, she completely encompasses fear, then the fear actually disappears. Because the fear arises, you know, according to thoughts, you know, or memories that come up. Yeah? And when we concentrate on the feeling, we see the anicca, we see the impermanence of feeling. It comes and it goes, yeah. And then we want to understand how did it arise, yeah? What brought it up, yeah? What kind of memory, what kind of thought, you know, what came before that until we see, okay. That's what I'm afraid of. And then we can tackle, you know, this thought or this memory. If it is a memory that brings up the fear, you know, then we can, you know, investigate that memory, yeah? If it is a thought, you know, we can tackle the thought, you know, whatever. I mean, whatever happens, I cannot change the world, I cannot change what is happening, but, yeah, we can tackle it, you know, with undermining the power of the thought, or undermining the power of the memory. Okay? Thirsty. So, is there another question?
Yes, Dongpo. So, this one was submitted just now.
Yeah.
Dear Ajahn, I heard that there's some prediction about World War III and big natural disasters that is coming soon.
Yeah.
Some people even buy house in Isan, as Isan is said to be a safe place. What is Ajahn's opinion and advice based on this?
Yeah, I don't want to go into it, you know, I normally, you know, if people are coming, you know, to me, you know, I talk about it, but not on the internet. Yes, there will be World War III, yes, yeah. Yes, Thailand itself, you know, the north of Thailand, you know, Isan and Chiang Mai will be unaffected. But I don't know which part of the world are affected. Mostly Europe, Russia, China, and the U.S., yeah? But also, I don't know, the other things, yeah? Turkey, yeah? The Middle East.
Thank you, Lumpur. There's a hand, please.
What?
Anyone else has questions? No one. Yeah, no, I think there are no more no questions. They're all good.
You're all good. Yeah, that is good. This time it will be shorter. I mean, are there some questions from the audience here? Yeah?
About investigations by like former teachings. As far as I've seen on videos, when to do it, first you investigate if something is strong enough to take you off the breath.
Yeah.
Then you say there's daily investigation. And how long should that take, and how much? And then I guess you can separate the samatha and vipassana. So first gather your mind and then switch to investigation. So the
You have to be, first of all, you have to be clear. If you do samatha, then you just do samatha. You don't do investigation. The only exception is when the pain in the body becomes so strong, then we can do the investigation of the pain. Yeah. Otherwise, we don't investigate anything in samatha. We try to get the mind calm, and if the mind goes into upachara samadhi, I mean, the pain and all these distractions are gone anyway. So, no. Once we come out, you know, once we come out of samatha, and if we could stay long enough, I say maybe 10 or 15 minutes on the same object without any distraction, then we can go into the investigation. Yeah, but then we only do investigation and we don't go into samatha, because sometimes, you know, we investigate the body and it slips into samatha, and that is not the point. Yeah, we really strictly separate. Vipassana is investigation. Samatha is calm meditation. Yeah? So, the same thing, okay, we tell ourselves, okay, I sit there, you know, samatha, maybe for an hour, maybe for 2 hours or 3 hours, yeah, and I only do samatha, yeah, with the exception, you know, of investigation of pain. And then after that, you know, I tell myself, okay, half an hour I do investigation and we investigate the body, yeah. I mean, if there are some problems, you know, coming up through doing samatha, I mean, we take a note of it, yeah? And if we come out of samatha, you know, we can tackle that problem. But not in samatha, because otherwise we will never reach upachara samadhi, yeah? Because the mind, the kilesas, always bring up problems, yeah? Yeah? And we just forget it, yeah? That's what I trained myself, yeah. All these things, you know, that came up in the beginning when I trained samatha, yeah. And I said, okay, if it is important, you will remember it, yeah. And after an hour, I couldn't remember anything. So, I mean, it wasn't important, yeah.
So again, like, when I do samatha, when I come out of samatha, do not try to get back into, let's say, upachara samadhi.
You can do that, yeah.
Huh? It's up to you whether to try to get back to samatha or try to do it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that is, you know, I mean, if you feel really, what is it, full, yeah, with samatha, I mean, then you can go into investigation. If not, you know, I mean, I practice 9 hours of samatha, you know, and just did 1 hour of investigation. Until later, you know, when the investigation took part, you know, when it really went going, you know, then I went on 9 hours of investigation and only 1 hour or 2 hours of samatha. Yeah.
So you do it not during samatha, after samatha ends, you start investigation, after you feel that you're not in samadhi anymore.
If you see that, you know, your investigation, you drift off, yeah, then you should stop the investigation and do samatha again, yeah. Because you have to, just like we focus on the breath, yeah. I mean, we take, you know, we investigate the body, you know, be it the whole body. We have to have this object, this one object, you know, in the mind, yeah. And then ask the question about this one object, yeah. We cannot just shift to another object, because that is the way of the mind, yeah. And that's why we need to train it with samatha, to stick to one object, yeah? And that's the same with investigation. We stick to one object, yeah? And investigate it thoroughly, yeah?
So you said, you said not to mix, but it's okay if within one sitting you go into samatha and then you investigate, and if your investigation is not going nowhere, then you go back and try to concentrate?
That is too much, you know, just stick to some rules, you know. Tell yourself, I want to do samatha, yeah? And then you do just samatha, yeah? You can, you know, I mean, and then you tell yourself investigation. I mean, if your samatha is quite good, you know, I mean, investigation for at least for half an hour should be possible, yeah? When you see, you know, just say, you know, in the beginning half an hour, and you see if you can concentrate on it. And after, you know, after investigation, okay, then you decide. But don't just fall over flip over from samatha into investigation into samatha investigation. Because, yeah, we really have to know what we are doing. Yeah. So, now it is samatha, now it is investigation. When you see, you know, I mean, you cannot hold back. Okay, now I stop the investigation. Yeah, now I do samatha, but not only for 5 minutes. Yeah. Okay. This flipping over or this sliding over into this is, that is the way of the mind, and we want to train it that it just stays with one object. Yeah, be it samatha or be it investigation. Yeah. Okay. Laura, no questions? So, are there some new questions? Tani?
Anyone has any questions? I saw a hand raised just now, but I couldn't see who is it from. I might have missed it. Anyone, you can just unmute and ask. Probably no. Yeah.
Oh, okay, so, yeah, I mean, next time, what is it? It's October, November, yeah. November, beginning of the number, I have quite a few dates, you know, and in the beginning of November, I'm busy. Towards the end, I'm not so busy, yeah. From the middle to the end, I'm not so busy. But in the beginning, I'm quite busy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe the third or the fourth week. Yeah, I'll check again the dates.
When are you coming for a longer time? In December or January?
Maybe December.
okay, whatever. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Uncle. So let's all pay respects. Uncle, we're bowing 3 times together. See you next month.
Mm, okay. Yeah. And then we close the Zoom session. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. So, and just a message. Anyone who wants to receive WhatsApp notice of the session, you can WhatsApp the number you see on the poster at the bottom right. Just text me. That's my number. You just text me. And then whenever there's a next Zoom session, I'll just send out the notification to you so that you get the notice on WhatsApp. Yeah. This is the number on the poster at the bottom right of it. Okay, thank you, everyone.
Otherwise, you have to watch a YouTube channel. I normally, 1 week ahead, you know, I post, you know, in a week.
There's
a, yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Bye, everybody. Yeah.